Vijaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Kunya Vihadi Vijaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihadi Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai, Gaura Nithai, Jaya Gaura Nithai. Hai Bo! Jaya Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe. Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Madan Mohan, Sri Radhe.
Hare Krishna. Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa. Paravrajakacharya ashtata satasi simat histivain greci lave charanaravinda Srila Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaja Srila Prabhupada ki jai Anant koti Vaishnavrinda ki jai Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai Gaura Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hari Bo. Oh, Nityananda. I'm recognizing you now. Nice to see you, Nityananda. Hare Krishna. So, once again, good morning, everyone. I'm very happy to discuss this morning briefly a subject that a matter which is very close to my heart. It is about Krishna in the heart, or inviting Krishna in the heart. And I'm very delighted that I see you in such good spirits. I think in a few minutes we will become spiritual heroes and heroines by going to Trier, to the Porto Negro, an ancient Roman monument, where we will chant and dance amidst the German barbarians. Hare Krishna. It takes courage. I would like to... I made a few notes here. Speak on my subject a little bit intriguing and fascinating. I listened recently to a lecture where Srila Prabhupada spoke about a man who had asked him, "Can you show me God, Swamiji?" And Srila Prabhupada thought about the question very deeply. I'm not sure what he answered to the man. he had given various answers. For instance, once a journalist asked him the same question, I think from the Time magazine, "Can you show me God?" And Prabhupada then pointed him to the devotees and said, "First you have to become like them." And he thought it's a simple thing by just going to the haircutter and getting a haircut. But Prabhupada meant, when he said, "First you become like them," he meant you need to develop some qualifications. And in his lecture, Srila Prabhupada gave a brilliant and very insightful example of what he meant when he said it requires some qualification in order to see God. He said, when there's something wrong at a car, a layman will look at the car and not know what went wrong and how to repair the problem. It requires someone who is trained, who is a car mechanic, who will look at the car, and then he will say, well, there's something wrong with the cylinders. We need to do some work on the cylinders. Then only when your cylinders are repaired will your car move very swiftly. So Srila Prabhupada's point by giving this example was very simple. If you need already a trained, a qualified mechanic in order to, in a way, understand a car and see it, then how much qualifications do you need to see God? I know this from my own example. I have been driving in cars since I was small, but I have never taken great care to understand the car. And whenever there's something wrong, I remember when Gaurahari, who has a more of a practical mind than me, when we would go with the car and there would be something wrong with the car, I stood before the car, I saw it, but I couldn't see the problem, whereas he could see some of the problem. I don't think all of the problem, because for that you really need a trained car mechanic. So I just stood before the engine, and for me everything looked all right, but the poor thing didn't work any longer. I didn't have a trained vision to spot the solution. So how can you demand to see God when you are not properly trained? There is an example of this in the Mahabharata. I think you are all aware, there is one a very wonderful Swami, His Holiness Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu Maharaj, who gives valuable lessons for us by narrating stories from the Mahabharata. And there is one of this story in the Mahabharata which shows you how someone stands right before God, but cannot understand Him. It's Duryodhana, who was spiritually very blind. Just to give you an example, this is more for the men, but once Duryodhana was standing under a banyan tree, and he followed nature's urge by, I don't know how to express it in polite words, by how do you call this? by making the human waterfall. So when he was doing this, I don't know if all of you understand what I'm trying to explain, but I'm too shy to say what biological activity went on. So while this was going on, he laughed uproariously. And the question was, why did Duryodhana laugh? Can you imagine why he laughed when you do? Normally, you don't laugh when you do such an activity. I think you will never be able to find out. He laughed because when he did the human waterfall, the seeds from the banyan tree were rotating in the human waterfall on the earth, and he thought, "I'm so powerful, I'm a king of this place, and I am so powerful. I'm really like God. I'm God. I'm so powerful. Everything rotates around me. This is how powerful I am." Very proud and arrogant fool he was. So when Krishna came for peace negotiations, Duryodhana was not very open to listen to Krishna's suggestions to make peace with the Pandavas. And he said, "I will not give the Pandavas that much land which you get when you put a needle in the ground." So then Krishna said, "You are an enemy of the Pandavas. And he who is an enemy of the Pandavas is an enemy of me." I would also say, he who is an enemy of the Pandavas, Senas. I think Krishna protects the Pandavas, Senas, and gives them a lot of spiritual energy. So then Duryodhana said, "What's the problem if you are my enemy?" Because Duryodhana was in this mindset that he was the supreme controller who made everything spin around him, and so on. So, very unqualified to see God. Then the Lord, in order to give this fool some sense of what it means if one is an enemy of the Pandavas and thus enemy of the Lord, he showed Duryodhana a partial manifestation of the Vishvarupa, the universal form. Who is not familiar with the universal form of Krishna? Please raise your hand. It's not a shameful situation. All right, then I don't need to explain the universal form of the Lord. So Duryodhana saw all of a sudden that there was a Krishna in a form which included the planets. The sun was his eye, the moon, his left eye, the moon, his right eye. A very magnificent, powerful display. But so by that time you would think Duryodhana would now understand. Here is the Lord and here I am, a small living being. But Duryodhana stood before the Lord and saw him, but because he lacked the qualifications, he did not see him. Do you know what he said? He said, "Oh Vasudev, don't do magic on me. I also know some magic." It's almost as if I'm saying to Damodar, who is a trained football coach, and he then plays a little with his, and I say, Damodar, show me what you know. And he takes the ball and moves it a little, and he puts it on his head, and it rolls down to his feet, and he kicks it up with his toe, and it goes up to the moon, and it falls down, back, and so on. And then I say to Damodar, Damodar, don't do your football tricks on me. I'm from Germany. Germans are the best football players. I also know something. So just to give an example how foolish Duryodhana was by comparing his little knowledge of some, you know, magic, you know, making a pouch disappear and whoop, it came out of the mouth again, by thinking that is that he could compete with God, who stood right before him. And because he was so self-conceited, do you understand this English word? Yeah, you are all English people, no problem. Because he was so much in illusion about himself and the Lord, he was by all means disqualified. Just like I'm disqualified to judge what is wrong in a car when it sputters and doesn't move any longer. In the same way, Duryodhana was not qualified to see God. And I think this is a very, very important thing if we want to understand how we receive Krishna in our heart. We have to become qualified, my dear devotees. And I want to tell you, the heart is the only place in which you can receive God and understand God. Only in a pure heart, with a pure heart, which is free from arrogance and pride and all the different material conditionings which we suffer from, can you actually see God. Now, I would like to speak today a little bit about the heart as a place to receive God. When we speak in Krishna consciousness by saying, chant from your heart or purify your heart, what do we mean? We mean the third heart. My God, is it becoming complicated? Yes, you have not one heart, you have three hearts. Did you know this? You have the physical heart, the pump, so to say. You have an emotional heart, a place where your emotions come. In Pandavasena, in the old times, I don't know if it's now still the, often Pandavasenas fell in love during the Pandavasena trip, and then they came to us older devotees and talked about their pains and pangs and joys and so on. And I asked them, you fell in love? And the Pandavasena went like, yes, Maharaj. He didn't point here. Yes, I'm in love. You know, he pointed here because that's where the emotional heart resides. That's the place where our emotions reside, not here. Here. And we all have a spiritual heart. Three hearts. The physical heart, the emotional heart, and the spiritual heart. Let me talk briefly about the three hearts. The physical heart is a muscle. Did you know that it doesn't grow old? It doesn't age. It has 10,000 cells, which are all different from each other. This physical heart has a certain rhythm, which the way it beats, which is as individual as your bio data, bio identification. That means your thumbprint. Just like your thumbprint is different from every single person's thumbprint in this universe, the heart rhythm which the physical heart has is different from any other heart rhythm than it than anyone has. Do you know how many liters of blood this amazing pump pumps through in 1 hour? I have notes, so I'm in a better position than you to this morning. 4,500 liters of blood are pumped in an hour through the veins of the body. We have as many veins in the body. If you would put all the blood vessels and veins together, you would have a string by which you could encircle the globe 2 times. Please have some respect of Krishna's creation of the physical body and more so the physical heart. It is really something very, very interesting. I have many more informations, but you know how many times the heart beats during a day? 100,000 times. It's a drum set which never tires. It's amazing. It's amazing. This is what we mean. This is your first heart, the muscle. That, now we come to the second heart. The place where we have feelings, that happens in the emotional heart. That's the place which the Vedas often refer to when they say purify your heart. They don't mean purify the physical heart. I mean to take a broom or some Spüli and Prili and Ajax. That's the German brands for the cleaning brands, you know. No, no. When we hear purify your heart, we mean this emotional heart. We should it should become free from the terrorism of anger, lust, greed, and illusion and madness and envy, and so on. And then we have the spiritual heart. The spiritual heart is something wonderful. The spiritual heart is where you reside and where God resides. In the tree of the body, there is a nest. It is the spiritual heart. And in that place, we find the Atma and the Paramatma, the soul, and the Lord as the super soul. They stay there. It's a place, the spiritual heart, a meeting place between God and you. And we all know a little bit about this spiritual heart. For instance, when I call someone who's a little bit in the distance, and I call, I did this, I think, yesterday, Abhishek. Then Abhishek goes like, me, you know, because he knows intuitively he is in that place, in that spiritual heart where he resides with the Lord. So if you want to wake up from the, if you want to have a spiritual awakening, let us call it like this, you need to wake up in the spiritual heart. You need to be spiritually present there. And the way this is affected or this is done is through a very particular process which we can learn in Krishna consciousness. First of all, are you intrigued in your life by the idea of spiritual awakening? I think yes, that's why we came to Pandavasena. It's not just... we know Pandavasena, they follow the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita, and they are all about self-discovery and spiritual awakening. So this takes place in the spiritual heart. Therefore, when Shyam Gopal gave me the title this morning, talk about how to receive Krishna in the heart, I felt, Shyam Gopal, you are my secret well-wisher, because this is one of my core subject matters which I discuss or which I talk to in my seminars, sacred space and all. There we often give 1 week courses where people can learn how to see themselves and see God in the heart. Now, to put it very simple, you have a place inside of you which most people have just forgotten about it. They know about the physical heart, and some know about the spiritual, the emotional heart. But the spiritual heart, that is something which only nowadays people who are cutting edge in their development begin to think. I heard just from someone yesterday that the subject in Germany, they saw spiritualis erwachen. A little German you need to know. Spiritualis erwachen means spiritual awakening is now what many students are interested in. There is a university, it's the first environmentally conscious university of Europe. It is called the Environment Campus. And the students there who have studied a lot of things about how to improve the environment are now very interested in the inner environment, and a key word there is spiritual awakening. And they have come to us and they requested us, with the professor there, can you please open a cafeteria? You're not with caffeine, coffee, but a cafeteria. We know you don't take caffeine for spiritual awakening. And we said, that's our specialty. That's what we are good in. Yes, of course. And they give us a lot of Lakshmi to do this, because that's now cutting edge, you know, spiritual awakening. And for that, you need to know about the spiritual heart. Where is that awakening going to take place? It's not just like awakening in the morning and doing some exercises so that your pump gets fresh and you don't look like a mummy. Is it called mummy? The mumia? Mumia? Mummy from Egypt, from the Pharaoh. For that you need to enliven the material heart, to get some energy in your body and not sleep in the morning. Hare Krishna. That's for the physical heart. The emotional heart is for that you need good association, so that your heart widens. And very important, if you want your emotions to become free, you need to think of how to become free from these silly attachments which make you envious and attached and put you into the ego. With these attachments, the knot in the heart is tightened and you feel how your emotional heart becomes smaller and smaller, just like a knot which is tightened becomes smaller and smaller. But what to do for the spiritual heart? Listen very carefully. The spiritual awakening happens primarily through two processes. That is Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing spiritual sound vibration and singing or talking about spiritual sound vibration. During Kirtan, for instance, you hear the sound very carefully. You receive the sound in your through the oral channel, and then you sing. And by this process of taking in the sound and then giving the sound of singing the sound, you become spiritually awakened. It's almost comparable to breathing in and then breathing out. You could also do this, Shravanam and Kirtanam, when you hear, for instance, the Bhagavad Gita or read it, you take it in, and then it's very important that you do the second thing. You talk about it and bring it out. In this way, by Shravanam means hearing or receiving sound vibration, and Kirtanam, making or singing spiritual sound vibration, the spiritual heart wakes up. How should you do it? You should do it regularly, you should do it with faith, and you should do it with a personal effort. I know Pandavasenas do not take notes and do not study very carefully, so I will repeat it a few times for you. How to enliven your spiritual heart? What do you do? Shravanam, Kirtanam. How do you do it? Regularly, with faith. What? With making an effort. Thank you. For instance, this devotee has, since I have told him to wake up, has made the effort to stay awake. I greatly appreciate it. Thank you so much for yes, being all the time like this. And with an effort, you need to make an effort when you hear. You need to control your mind and put it on the subject matter. You need to allow the sound to go in. Even if your mind goes all over the planet and back, you need to make the effort. And regularly, who of you read in the books of Srila Prabhupada? Mm-hmm, good number. Have you ever noticed when you stop reading and then you read again after a week, you can't get into it so easily? You need to keep the effort regularly. Very important. And then with faith. Sometimes we lose our faith, and then it's very important that we repair our faith by going with devotees, speaking about it, and therefore Pandavasena has made this mentorship. It's one of the reasons why there is the mentorship idea, that we can discuss with people who can help us restore our faith. And the effort is mainly to stay concentrated while you do this. Then, my dear devotees, you can see the self and you can see God. That's spiritual awakening. There's an example of this, and I will end with this example and then open the forum for questions. There was once a thief. Prabhupada talked about him in a beautiful lecture. It's a 20-minute long lecture. And he talked about the thief who went to the Association of Devotees. I heard that the thief went there to steal. You know, I know that there's the expert thieves in India. They know, and then they come to an initiation ceremony, not because they want to understand something spiritual, but they know every one of the disciples has Guru Dakshin in his shirt, which he will give at the time of initiation. And they like to steal this. So when you go to India to an initiation ceremony, be careful, there are also thieves around. So this thief came to the to the lecture on Krishna in the Bhagavatam, and he was, you know, checking it out where he could make a good steal, and then the Bhagavatam lecturer spoke about Krishna, who every morning leaves the village of Vrindavan, and he's decorated with golden ornaments on the arms, on the wrists. He has a golden crown, and he has necklaces of jewels and pearls. And the thief thought, wow, I must meet this Krishna. Then in one, with one job, I take care of all my needs, all my financial needs. Crown made of gold with jewels, armlets, a Kostuba money, big jewel on the chest, necklaces of pearls. With one robbery or thievery, I have taken care of all my needs. This is intelligent stealing. Hare Krishna. I don't know if you have ever robbed a bank. There you can get everything in one go, you know. I don't recommend it, by the way. I have also not done it. So this is what the thief thought. And so after the lecture, he came to the lecturer. No, during the lecture, he heard he lives in Vrindavan. Acha. He wrote all this down. I think he didn't write it down. He was thinking of it. And he thought, I must go to Vrindavan. And after hearing this, he went to Vrindavan. And he went into the forest by the Jamuna. And he waited for Krishna to come. Is it called in English, he waited an ambush? Or he wanted to make an ambush on Krishna? Maybe we don't say like this. I'm trying to learn your language. So he came and waited for Krishna. But Krishna did not come. He waited more and more. He became very eager to meet Krishna. And then, all of a sudden, Krishna, who saw that something was happening in his heart, came to him. He walked down the path. The anchor bells on his feet jingled. He had a crown. And on the crown there was a peacock feather, and it waved a little like this in the wind. It looked so beautiful. Krishna came, and he had a pearl which was dangling from a golden ring in his nose. It was a nose pearl, but not on the nose. It was just hanging, and it was moving. And as it was moving, the red inside of his nostril was reflected on the pearl. It looked very beautiful. The thief thought, are you Krishna? Yes. oh, you are very nicely decorated today. Yes, every day. Mother Yashoda is putting this on. Ah, said the thief, whose heart started to melt. You know, I'm very poor. I know, said Krishna. Can you maybe give me a few of your precious ornaments? Can I just take them? Krishna said, No. My mother will not agree with this. She will ask me, where are your ornaments? And I will be in trouble. I have to all bring them home. So by now the thief was sitting before Krishna, just totally captured. The Lord is called Chittahari. He robs your mind when you see him. You just can't see anything else, Krishna. And the thief was there transfixed. And then Krishna saw the desire of the thief. And he said, well, I've thought about it. You can take my ornaments now. And the thief said, I do not wish your ornaments any longer. I want only you. My dear devotees, Srila Prabhupada has used this traditional story, which is well known in Vrindavan, to tell us that if we hear about Krishna, receive what is heard in our spiritual heart, we say like this in English, we take it to heart. Do we say this in English? In German language we say, wir nehmen uns das zu Herzen. You know, we take it to heart. And just by hearing, doing a lot of Shravanam, and then don't forget Kirtanam, you will have spiritual awakening. I want to direct your attention to a very nice program in London, the Saturday evening Harinam. There you do just that. You go into London, not to get lost in London with so many material distractions. You go there, and it's such a good field for practice, and you do Shravanam and Kirtanam. You hear how the Kirtan leader sings, and then you just respond, and you fix your whole mind, in fact your whole being, on this hearing and chanting, and you will have a spiritual awakening. I will see today, we will do the same thing in Trier, and I beg to be able to join you. I want to go to Trier. It's one of the best Harinam towns in this country. And please there, do this exercise to just hear. Sometimes I feel that when we do kirtan, we only hear the drum beat, and when it gets faster, we get enlivened. When it gets slow, we slow down. That is not the idea of Shravanam Kirtanam. Hear the holy name. Let it enter you. Let it pervade you. Let it come into you like a drop of oil into cloth, which when it has reached the cloth, it spreads in the cloth. So let the holy name come into you. Allow the holy name to go there and then spread in your whole being. Let nothing of the nonsense person remain. Let the holy name reach you entirely. Don't try to escape the influence of the holy name. And you will awaken. You will feel enthusiastic, blissful, and people will say to you, do you know that you are shining? A person who is spiritually awakened, You can see it. He almost has a shine around himself. It is a special influence which comes. Enough theory. I wish you a wonderful Harinam. Let us see if there is one or two questions. We go up till 10. Is this right? No? Our coach is 10 or 9:45? Few questions. Good. Shyam Gopalji, I prayed for your foot yesterday night before going to bed. Is it working? Yes, Shyam Gopal. Yes. Yeah, there are spiritual emotions also. Spiritual emotions are described to be centered around three strong urges. Spiritual emotions are those emotions which come from the soul, and they are in three categories. First is, you just somehow want to meet Krishna. It's almost like a young man or a young lady, they want to meet each other. They want to be together with each other. It's also like, why give this example? You have some friends, most probably, and after some time, we want to meet these friends, no? We want to meet. It's so in the same way, the desire which comes from the soul is, you want to be with Krishna. And I think you all have felt these desires at times. You just want to be with him. You feel, my life is so hollow and so shallow. The second thing is, you feel, I want to do something for him. I want to serve him. And the third type of desire is, you want to please him. Make him happy. These are coming from the soul. And of course, there is an endless variety how these things are expressing itself. Look at desire. Do you know what is desire? No, yes, middle. You desire something. Does this happen to you? Of course. I'm trying to awaken your intelligence. What is this desire? It's a certain force which springs from the soul. A dead body does not desire. Now, the moment you look to the material world, the desire becomes calm. Calm means lusty desires, and it brings a few things like anger when it's frustrated, greed when it is fulfilled but you want more, enviousness when you see other people have more than you. It's the moment this force, desire, is pointed to in the material direction, it becomes, colored and tinged. The moment the desire, Shyam Gopal, he listened very carefully, gets directed towards Krishna, it becomes purified. And you have endless desires and endless psychological movements going there. Calm and prem, these are the roots of karma and prema. Huh? Calm and prem mean both express the same thing, desire. It's desire which comes from the soul, and let's be careful that it goes to, not down and gets more earthy or worldly, mundane, and becomes, because the desire, my dear devotees, it's a spiritual force. You cannot satisfy it with material things. It just does not work. You can move heaven and hell through your organic senses. Means heavenly pleasures and hellish pleasures. It just does not satisfy the soul. You have to point it upwards, and the upward direction goes into meeting Krishna. Oh Krishna, serving Krishna, pleasing Krishna. Also, when you are in relationship with friends, try to look towards Krishna. See, mundane friendships are like this. Here's one friend, here's another friend. They look at each other. I mean, this is a small friend. Maybe he should grow a little. Okay. Dressed in a zari here. Looking at each other. Huh? In spiritual life, both are very close to each other, much closer, because, and they look towards Krishna. Am I clear? I'm trying to be clear. That is friendship. Not where it stops with you. No, where you come close and you look towards Krishna. That's a fulfilling spiritual friendship, because your vision goes very far. Here it goes only 50 centimeters, or they come close 10 centimeters, or 1 millimeter. But this is vast. Ooh, very satisfying to the heart. So it's all about desire. Desire is not to be stopped. Desire is to be made ecstatic, not static. Hare Krishna. I know I always talk too much. I should put more emphasis on questions. Next time I have to practice this. Short talks, long questions, answers. We will do soon. Do you recognize how important the question was of Syam Gopal? What do we do with our desires? Are we meant to cut them because they cannot be satisfied? No. No, no, no. Look upwards. There's an unlimited world up there. The spiritual world. Much vaster. And if you look downwards, it's very limited. Sphere. Krishna. Okay, I think now we will ask our... you had another question? Would you be comfortable to come to me personally now, or I come to you because you are Mr. Invalid? I will come to you, but I think we need to close at 10 to come to the Harinam. Our Damodar will give us an orientation, or Gorahari. What? Thank you all very much, and let us sing and dance. Aha, good. Damodar has permitted us. Yes, please. Yes.
Offered to give an example of if you're lusty, then you eventually get married.
Ja. Narottamdas Thakur says lust can be engaged by being lusty to hear more about Krishna. See, let us look at lust and not faint. Mm-hmm. Can we talk about such subjects or is it too intense? Lust is just a feeling, a desire which comes out of the situation I need something. For instance, I lust for a pizza. We feel, if I have this pizza, if I ingest it, then my appetite, my need is fulfilled. Now, there is a certain truth in it. When we are hungry, the truth is that we are hungry, we lack something, we need to fill something into our thing. But but eating pizzas until you faint may not be the solution. There are more healthy ways to deal with this feeling of lust. Lust, let me be crystal clear, is a feeling I'm lacking something, and if I bring this something or someone into my life and into my experience, then I will be peaceful. That's the idea here. So, but the thing is, only if you bring Krishna into your experience, only if you bring Krishna into your life, will you be fully satisfied. And the way you bring God into your life is you need to, first of all, hear about Him more. So lust can be fulfilled according to can be fulfilled by bringing Krishna into the life. There are many modern stories about this, but there is a very old ancient story. There was once a person who had homosexual lust. Do you know what? Yes, you all modern people. You know, very lusty, and his speciality was boys. You know, he had that type of. There must be a name for that, a special name, but I don't know. And he was really lusty. He had dreamt of them, and you know, let's not go in the detail. And then once. He lived in Delhi. He saw two sadhus, and they had the turban, and one of them took a picture out of the turban and looked at the picture and started to describe what he saw on the picture to his sadhu friend. Look how beautiful his lips are. Have you ever seen such beautiful feet? And this man with this unhealthy lust heard it. His name was Raskan. Like Rascal almost, Raskan. And you know, he heard a boy with lips. He got wild, you know, with lust, like a normal, like a human, a heterosexual person, when he would hear a description of a lady and so on. He got really. And then he saw how the sadhu who had talked about this beautiful boy took the picture and hid it in the turban because he saw how this man was aroused. And Ras Khan took his knife and went to the sadhu and put it on the throne. What is the picture? Show me the picture. And the sadhu took the picture out, and there was a picture of Naji, you know, the lord who lifts Govardhan Hill. And the sadhu said, this boy is the most beautiful boy. And Ras Khan actually asked, where does he live? In Vrindavan. Where there? Well, inside a temple. He stays in the temple. Is he pious? Well, we are all liking temples, said the sadhu. So this man went on a long search through the Vrindavan temples until finally he saw Naji and fell in love. And I think this is what hearing about Krishna does with our emotions. We hear and hear and hear again, and then we search for Krishna, and when we find him, this emotion is satisfied. This emotion of lack, really, and we are in the true sense of the word Krishnarized or fulfilled by Krishna's presence in our lives. It's a process. Now, meanwhile, while this works, it is there are ways to take care of this feeling of lacking. When you are plagued by lust and that you feel it's not serving your interest, and then do something else. You know, is a very good way is vigorous chanting and dancing. Then the mind begins to feel fulfilled in another way. See, there are these unhealthy forms of lust which just obsess a person. And you just have to understand a little point that your mind cannot hold two things at the same time. It's like these old slide projectors. Do you remember? You put one slide before the lens and jup is there. And then you make... There's an arm in it, it goes like joop, and the slide comes out, and then you can put a new slide. So this is the way how to deal with all types of emotions. When you are feeling that you are obsessed, it's not good, put something else in there and concentrate on this, and then the other will go, like in an old slideshow. You know, Hare Krishna. It works very much when you have emotions which are not serving you. You need to focus on another emotion. And I would like to, this is all what we teach. Maybe Shyam Gopal has told you, we are developing a spiritual school, really, with different classrooms. One is the Tree of Life. You have Janaki Ram has told me yesterday that he has gone all over America with his exalted spiritual master, His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj, and talked about this model, you know, where you take care of yourself spiritually, emotionally, physically, and also in terms of your relationships. That's the Tree of Life, but we have many, this is life school, which when you learn it, you become fulfilled. I have seen very often this unhealthy desires which are not making us satisfied are just coming because a person has so much lack inside himself. Not lack, lack. Or is this called English lacking? Lacking. Lacking. That is, he's lacking something. And by just taking care of yourself spiritually and emotionally, you know, by being happy in your life and having found your unique purpose in life, that takes care of your emotions of lack, and just by being physically fit, you know, for life and having wonderful relationships, that takes care of a lot of these things. You know, these unhealthy desires come often when we are psychologically not fulfilled. And then something just jumps out. And really, even if the whole material society tries to fulfill lusty desires, very, very, very much, but they remain fulfilled, unfulfilled. They have to try again and again and again and again. Even Prabhupada said, even old men will go to topless, bottomless clubs and order. So on, Prabhupada talked about this problem in the Western civilization. And often the reason is they are not just fulfilled in their life. There is no spiritual dimension, physical dimension. They are unhealthy and emotional. They are not happy, and finally their relationships stink, you know. And tree of life, very good. We are in the future. This will be taught extensively, and so on. But do you know, Syam Gopal, my thinking is so much good spiritual, so much satisfaction comes when you find your unique purpose in life. Can I tell you my unique purpose? Can I tell you? I'm a little bit shy, no problem. So, I don't know how to express it. Yeah, see, I need to feel the presence of Radha Krishna in my heart. And when I meet with people, I wish to help them to make a transformation in their life so that ultimately the whole world will wake up to the bliss and ecstasy of the spiritual reality. That is my purpose in life. And every morning I tell I found this purpose. Others may have the purpose. I want to be such a coach in my life. I'm a football coach like anything. So that the teams are shooting goals like anything and chant Hare Krishna. You know, you can have a purpose in your life, and then you are satisfied. Often this lust is a problem of psychopathic people who are not really fulfilled in their life because they don't know why they are here. They don't live in their purpose, and therefore this is also taught in the Parinivasena, how to find our unique Dharma. Oh, very important. Hare Krishna. Is it a good time to end Damodar? Because we wait for the coach. Okay, anyone else has a question? No. Hare Krishna. Then it is a good time to end. Hare Krishna.